This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37 in the morning on Thursday, the 16th of December. Speaking of booms, apart from the logistics boom that we're seeing take place because of the pandemic, we are also seeing electric vehicles poised to become mainstream amid a global push towards electrification and green energy. EVs currently make up just 3% of total vehicles, but this is estimated to grow to 10% in 5 years.
The anticipated surge in consumer demand has seen electric vehicle makers become investor darlings. Industry leader Tesla has almost doubled in value and joined the $1 trillion club this October. Now, the Bank of America predicts that the EV trends could spark a 3-year wave of initial public offerings all across the value chain. And that could raise approximately, check this out, $100 billion until the end of 2023. This is exemplified by electric truck maker Rivian Automotive, which raised $13.7 billion in its IPO last month, the largest this year.
So what are the trends that we should look out for in this hot sector? Joining us on the line to discuss this is Daniel Ives, Managing Director at Wedbush Securities. Good morning, Dan. Thanks for joining us today. So you have a bullish outlook for EVs in 2022, anticipating EVs to make up 5% of global vehicles by year end and growing to 10% share by 2025. What are the main factors driving the growth in EVs?
Yeah, I mean, we're really seeing this green tidal wave not just in China, but really globally, Europe and the U.S. You know, a big part of it is you're starting to see price points come down. It's not just $75,000, $80,000 U.S. You're starting to see $40,000, $50,000 price points. And you have stalwarts going after it, GM, Ford, VW, and others. And we think right now, you know, this is just really the start of what's going to be probably the biggest transformation to the auto industry since 1950s in terms of the EV boom.
But then there's demand, but will there be supply? Because in the last 2 years, there's been the semiconductor shortage, right? Is that going to be the biggest risk for the EV sector?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the supply chain issues have really almost pushed out the EV story 6 to 9 months. But we are starting to see that moderate, and which is why we think 2022 is going to be the year of EVs. And we view it as a $5 trillion market. About half that we view as Tesla's to really own, $2.5 trillion. The rest of that's going to be up for grabs, 100 EV makers plus going after that globally. And I think we're really just going to start seeing inflection in these names. And we've never viewed Tesla or EVs as a traditional automaker from a valuation. We view it as a disruptive technology player. That's why you've seen the re-rating in some of these names like VW, Ford, GM.
So, you know, Dan, in your report, you basically focus on also the legacy automakers. You picked GM, right, as one likely winner. Why is GM so well poised to do that transition well to EVs?
Yeah, GM, and I'd say Ford would be second, they have the distribution and the vertical integration. So they have the battery technology they're building, the software, and they sell 7 million cars per year. They start to convert 10, 20% of that. This is a $100 stock, which is my view that the stalwarts are starting to see a major renaissance of growth on EVs in terms of what we're seeing in the auto industry. That's why GM sticks out. But I think it's Ford as well in terms of everything we see playing out in this, you know, EV revolution. China was first. Now we're really seeing it globally across Europe and the U.S.
Dan, you're really positive on this sector, but are there any headwinds that could dampen the EV market? You know, are there any downside risks to be wary of? What could change this picture that you have for a 2022 to be the EV year?
Well, I think you brought up, I mean, the chip shortage clearly is a headwind. Also, increasing competition. It's not just all winners. You're going to have winners and losers. And, you know, having the vision of EVs to actually seeing the execution and customers buying it, that's going to be, there's clearly always risk in that. And I think we're seeing that play out, you know, even now, you know, in terms of the chip shortage. So there's risk. But my view is forest through the trees, next 12 to 18 months, it's something where I'll call it a fourth industrial revolution that's really playing out. And EVs is a big part of it, which is why we are bullish on the sector going into the next year.
And can we have your views or thoughts on the Chinese EV players? I mean, do you see them gaining global market share, or are they just going to still remain very domestic driven?
Well, I think eventually they do go global. Well, when I look at NIO, XPeng and others, and I think that's in their plans, because the battery technology has been so sophisticated, and what you've seen in China with adoption, I believe those Chinese players over time will start to expand. Now, clearly, U.S.-China cold tech war is an issue, you know, in terms of some of those expansion, but I don't view these just as domestic Chinese players. Specifically, NIO, kind of view that as a sort of golden child of EVs in China that could really start to see global expansion.
So then, you know, early on you were saying 50% of the market share goes to Tesla, the other 50% a bit up for grabs. How do you distinguish between the new upstarts like Rivian, who are really, you know, not really put a product out there, versus the legacies where some are mixed bag in terms of their transition towards EV? Who do you think is likely to win the remaining 50% of the share?
Well, I think Rivian, of any of the startups, is extremely well positioned. I view them as almost a top five EV player, you know, over the next decade. Because, but also remember, it's a startup, but they had $10 billion of capital from Amazon, Ford, and others. So it's not a quote-unquote traditional startup. And I think what Rivian's done is really going to change the pickup truck and SUV market. And then you look what Ford's doing with the F-150. I think that's a special product. I think that's really a big reason why you're starting to see bullishness in Ford. And then you look globally, I think VW. I mean, VW has had some starts and stops, but I think they're really starting to figure this out in terms of the EV vision.
Okay, so Dan, when I look at the valuations, and you brought up that, you know, we should look at Tesla as a disruptor and hence it deserves a premium. But if I look at Bloomberg, PE for Tesla is 300 times versus, let's say, the likes of Ford, which is at 7 times, and, you know, General Motors at 8 times or 11 times. How do you explain such a wide gap, especially since Ford and GM are supposed to enter this space?
Yeah, and it's a great question. And, you know, in my 20 years plus of covering tech stocks, I've never viewed the transformational names as PE. Otherwise, you would have missed Apple, Amazon, Tesla, Netflix, and others. I view it as you have to, on a name like Tesla, you got to look out 3, 4, 5 years, what growth looks like, and then start to do a sum of the parts. The reason the names like Ford and GM are on PE, because those are still getting some of that legacy valuation. But I view that you're going to start to see those valuations really change over the next, call it 6 to 9 months, which is why we're bullish on the auto stalwarts.
Dan, thanks as always for speaking to us this morning. That was Daniel Ives, Managing Director at Wedbush Securities, giving us his outlook for the EV sector in the coming year. He thinks it's going to be booming.
I think, Shawnee, you had a great question distinguishing the PE between Tesla and all these legacy automakers. I always felt that the legacy automakers struggled to do the transition.
Yeah.
Because that transition cost is going to be heavy, right?
Exactly.
Versus these new startups like Rivian, where they have a fresh platform to build on. So I think that could have been baked into the valuation.
Perhaps, because you have to write off your legacy assets, right?
Yeah.
Versus new players, which have no legacy at all.
Exactly.
But the valuation differential to me is still very, very wide, and I can't wrap my mind around that.
Well, 50% market share.
Maybe, perhaps.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.